Welcome back, everyone. Welcome if you're just joining me. We are reviewing the long history, the numerous moments in recorded history where wannabe tin pot dictators or authoritarians or wannabe kings forged alliances with the billionaire overlords of their time to help fund and then later solidify their control over government. Hitler being one of those historical analogies to our moment that has probably been written about most. I've been sharing with you some of the work from historian Timothy W. Ryback, who runs the Institute for Historical Justice and Reconciliation in The Hague. He's written a book about this. And there are simply undeniable parallels between Hitler's rise and his relationship with the billionaire overlords in Germany of the 20s and 30s, and Donald Trump's ascension, reascension, and his relationship with the billionaire overlords of our time, most notably Elon Musk, visually symbolized, shown to us all right out in the open yesterday with Elon standing over Donald Trump in the Oval Office. Just weird. Icky. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton, you say what this afternoon, ma'am?
Well, I got a couple of things. First of all, you asked earlier if the people that voted for Trump are okay with this. I'm going to say yes, they are okay with this. Every person that voted for him, I even hear them on Earl's show and other shows every day talking about how they're still very proud of the fact that they voted for him. And I'm just going to say that Elon Musk is not the only billionaire. There are lots of other right. billionaires out there who understand what this is not only going to do to the United States economy, but to the world economy, and they have a lot to lose. I'm predicting that there's a movement afoot to take Trump and Musk, both of them, to their knees.
We're going to have to watch this space. I completely agree with you, Cindy. My problem, and listen, I've got a texter right now saying, oh, here you go, you libs freaking out and the Hitler stuff and calling Donald Trump a fascist didn't work before. My point here isn't, is Donald Trump a fascist? Because I'm never going to convince a Trump voter that he is. My point is, whether or not a Trump voter today realizes it, accepts it, and acknowledges that billionaire overlords, including but not limited to Elon Musk, 100% correct, Cindy, are the actual problem. That is my point. And that our democracy isn't served well. We are not served well as the middle class when billionaires dictate public policy. They do not, they have no party. I've said this many times. They aren't Democrats or Republicans. They're billionaires. They seek more wealth, more power, more control. That is the problem. Hitler and Hugenberg, who was one of his billionaire overlord financiers who helped the Nazi Party rise to power, helped Hitler seize power, were anti-democratic, anti-immigrant, anti-Semitic. But their political partnership ended up failing spectacularly. The two could not coexist. And it wasn't their ideological differences. Does this seem a little familiar to anyone? Might this portend what we're seeing go on with Elon and Hitler? I'm sorry, Trump. They both were incredibly inflexible, stubborn, self-righteous, egocentric. When they were challenged by anyone or each other, they would double down. So one of them ultimately could only prevail, and that eventually became Hitler. And Hugenberg was sidelined when Hitler had finally while speaking out of both sides of his mouth, while telling the masses, the people of Germany, that he was on their side, he was for the working man, while at the other side of his mouth, wooed and courted all of the industrialists because he needed their money. He was able to leave Hugenberg behind. And by the way, Hugenberg and Hitler, as they rose in power, and they did so side by side for a while, what was one of their first tactics? And Steve from Milwaukee on the text line, I'm looking at you. According to historian Timothy Ryback, guess what they did? They engaged in outrage politics. They planted false stories in the media. They used propaganda. Oh, and they purged. They purged opponents wherever they found them, from whatever levels of government, local, national, that they could. They dismantled workers' rights. They lowered wages. And they placed tariffs, protectionist tariffs, made to benefit the billionaire overlords, the industrialists of the time, leading to inflation. But finally, by June 29th, 1933, Hugenberg had resigned his minister post, and Hitler no longer needed him, and he eventually was able to take complete control of the German government. And remember, these relationships were first secret and covert. The activities to seize power were at first secret and covert, but then they were all out in the open. Does this sound familiar to anyone? And the corruption, the grift continued because Hitler continued to need a source of money and backing. Of course, just a quick recollection, basically Hitler dismantled Germany's democracy in a matter of weeks. The arson attack on the Reichstag on February 27th, the March 5th elections from which the Nazis emerged with a mandate, claimed mandate, and then finally the passing of an enabling law on March 23rd that established Hitler as an unchallenged dictator. And the industrialists continued to benefit. They benefited from slave labor. They lined their pockets. Ferdinand Porsche designed the Volkswagen, the car for the people. One of the industrialists, IG Farben, and its subsidiaries were using slave laborers. That corporation owned Bayer Pharmaceuticals. Bayer Pharmaceuticals, of course, produced Zyklon B, which was used for the final solution. Eventually, Hugenberg was arrested by British military police in the fall of 1946. He was detained for months, his asset frozen. But incredibly, he was determined to be, quote, untainted by his relationship with Hitler. And he was eventually able to lay claim to his frozen assets and remained unrepentant to his death. So we've got some work to do here, folks, and some history to be revisited, because the stakes could not be higher for the middle class, for working people in this country. Believe what you want about Donald Trump, but this is the one thing that I know to be true. I am not okay, and I don't think America is okay with an unelected, unappointed, unconfirmed, unaudited, unsupervised billionaire overlord and his adolescent minions with their fingers in our pocketbooks, with their finger on the scale of justice. I'm not okay with that. I don't think it serves any one of us in any way, shape, or form. And it ain't what we signed up for. Now, is it true that most Trump supporters aren't there yet? Yep. But the pain of the policies has yet to reach them. So our enemy isn't the Trump voter, everyone. It's not the conservative. Our problem, our enemy, if you will, and I don't like language like that, but if we have to identify the problem, it's the billionaires. It's the corruption, damn it. Because without them, there is no MAGA. There is no Donald Trump. It is the corruption, damn it. So let's keep our eye there, because I don't believe conservatives of good faith, Trump voters, and I believe there are Trump voters of good faith, are okay with corruption being the rule of law, the rule of the day in the United States. So thanks for your patience with me this afternoon. Thanks for your input, your calls, the texts. Cam from Appleton, Steve from Milwaukee, Ken from Mount Horeb, and even my conservative friends texting in on the line. Mark from Sussex, I see you too, friend. But it's time for us to turn the page, because we all need a little relief. And so we're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated episode of Over the Hump and Trump. And with whiteout conditions, as I look out of my studio here in Waukesha at the WAUK, I'm super happy to bring on two very good friends of the show, my senior producer, Jamie, and a storm chaser extraordinaire, none other than Corey Hartman. Welcome, welcome to both of you. Over the Hump and Trump today. Folks, if you've never heard the segment before, it's where we take a little break from politics. We talk about the things that connect us, that help us be creative, that rejuvenate us. And today we're going to talk about snow days and the joy that they collectively bring, so long as you don't have to be out of them. Welcome, Jamie. Welcome, Corey. Thanks for being here.
Well, how's it going?
I'm good. I got all that Hitler business off my chest, so now we can talk about something fun,
well,
shall we?
We have to lighten it up a little bit, because nobody wants a snow day with Hitler talk, right?
No, it's a little dark. A little dark.
This is what they used to do to me all the time in TV, too. They'd be like,
let's go to the weather guy.
And a bus of nuns crashed into the ditch. Corey, how about weather?
Well, because
prepared then.
Well, when you have nothing else to say, you can always lean on the weather. I mean, everybody wants to deal with it, with it in this case. So
being from Wisconsin, right? Like, weather is a unifying, like, cri de guerre. We all fight the weather. We shovel together. We plan it together. It's all of those things. So, Corey, what? Give us our status quo. How are things going across the state?
So the roads are starting to get to be a mess, especially in the Milwaukee metro. Things around Madison, not too bad. Some of the belt lines, some of the side roads are slowing down a little bit. But we've got some pretty decent snow that has moved through and continues to move through southern portions and southeastern portions of the state. Anywhere from 4 to probably 6 inches. Some places we're getting the afternoon updates are coming in hot and heavy, but there's a pretty good band of snow right now working its way through Milwaukee. It stretches back toward the Whitewater area through Waukesha and right into downtown. And then a new band has just kind of formed, Monroe, Monticello, Verona, south of Madison, and will be moving in just in time for the evening commute in Madison as well. So,
super. We have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
It was
just the Super Bowl. It's now the Super Bowl of weather today. These are one of those days. So we've got tornadoes blowing through Mississippi right now as we speak, and a heavy swath of snow across the central part of the country and upper Midwest.
Well, the word of the day then is proceed with caution, everyone. Please drive slowly and carefully. Allow yourself a little extra time. For this episode of Over the Hump and Trump, I wanted to have a little fun with both you, Corey, and Jamie, and talk about some of our favorite snow day activities. MPS schools had school call today, along with a lot of different school districts across southeastern Wisconsin. I know Madison schools, they're in school. So folks, as you get and pick up your little ones, please be careful out there. But if you want to share with us some of your favorite snow day activities and memories, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. My name's Maggie Dawn. We're doing a little abbreviated version of Over the Hump and Trump, where we talk about the things that actually bring us together here in Wisconsin, like the weather, like the joy and fun of snow days. As soon as we take care of this next bit of business, I'm going to ask both Jamie and Corey their favorite snow day activities and yours. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.